to be here again. Thankful to be able to be here. Thankful for the privilege to come and church confidence and having us, and Brother Graber and his friendship and faithfulness of the church. And we want to appreciate and let you know we appreciated the meal yesterday and being able to come and have some fellowship with God's people. We are thankful for so many from Cadillac that were able to come and blessing to us. Good people. Always amazes me how you can be somewhere and begin to love the Lord's people. And a child of God should have that natural desire. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Book of Romans chapter 9. I'm going to read some verses here, just about five verses, I think it is. Verse 11, Romans 9, it says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand." It's amazing that I gave you my testimony this morning in Sunday school, but you know, I never even heard anybody talk about election. In fact, I think that the Free Methodists just avoided this chapter. Like, I think they avoided certain things, like they avoided Ephesians 1, and they just avoided certain things that they couldn't explain, because it's awful hard to explain these doctrines if you don't believe them when they're right in the Word of God, when it uses the word election. "According to election might stand, not of works of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." It's a verse that confuses a lot of people in this world, but we look at it and we just simply understand it's the grace of God, the love of God that was bestowed upon an unworthy man named Jacob. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? Is God unjust? God forbid that we should say such a thing. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I want us to look at what God did for Jacob. What God did in the life of Jacob. Most of us know, if you've grown up in church, you've heard the story of the twins being born. You know, to Isaac and Rebekah, how they had two boys named Jacob and Esau. And they were not identical twins by any means. They were twins that looked quite a lot different. And God chose one of them, Jacob. Twins, and yet he separated them. And God made a difference between them. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, let's read verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, O earth. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distew as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways and judgment of a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." Just and right is all that God does. "They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a preserve and a crooked generation, a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee, and hath he not made thee and established thee?" It's like the people complaining to the potter that made them. "And remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and he will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations and their inheritance, and he separated the sons of Adam, and he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." You know, the Lord has his people. In fact, in Matthew there, where the angel was speaking to Joseph, he said, "He shall save his people. I shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save" who? His people. And the Lord has, the portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. "Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And he found him in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness, and he led him about, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so did the Lord alone lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, and the fat of the rams of the breed of Bashan, and the goats, and the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of grape. I mean, we think about how God took this man who really was nothing. He left home in fear of his brother killing him with nothing. And then how he ended up in the later years of his life, and how God blessed Jacob, and how God blessed him with his sons, and how he ended up going even to Egypt and being reunited with Joseph, and all the things that happened in Jacob's life, and how God blessed him, and how merciful God was to him. But our message today really starts with this verse 10 in 32. I love what it says there, because, you know, Jacob wasn't born saved. And there's a whole lot of people think, you know, well, I go calling sometimes and people say, well, I'm Catholic. It's just like they think that, you know, you're born into this. That's not going to save you. Just because your parents are Christians doesn't mean that you're automatically a Christian. Just because your parents are saved doesn't mean you're saved. And here it says in verse 10, it says, he found him. Who's he? God found him in a desert land. I mean, Jacob was wandering out, it says there, in a waste howling wilderness. Boy, to me, that's such a good picture of salvation and where God finds us. When without God, we are in a waste howling wilderness. We are on our way to a depraved, horrible, just like the prodigal son, to the slop of the pig. That's where we're headed. And Jacob, that's where he was at. He was in a desert land. He was in a place alone. He was by himself in a waste, howling wilderness. But God knew where he was, and God found him. God knew right where to find him. Knew where he was all along. The Lord found him in that waste, howling wilderness, much like the prodigal son who came to himself in the hog pit. Jacob was wandering alone in a desert land, on his last leg, if you will. And the Lord found him there. The Bible makes it very clear that the Lord will leave the 99 and go after the one lost sheep. He said, what think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them have gone astray, doth not he leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? Didn't God do that with Jacob? He set his love upon him, and even though he had fled at home and he was out there on the run and in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness, God found him. Jacob was all alone. He had to flee his home because he had cheated his brother out of his birthright. He had no wife. He had no family other than his mom and dad, who his dad was dying, and his mom had helped him in his deceit and encouraged him to leave because she knew that Esau would come after him and seek to kill him. And so he was out in a desert land on the run, and God found him there. Verse 9, it says, for the Lord's portion is his people. The Lord knows where his people are at. You know, when we think about, you know, God said, I've reserved, and there's a remnant yet today of God's people. And there may be some here in this room that are not saved that are his people. I don't know who they are, but God does. And it says, your God found him. God knows right where we're at all the time. And that's what we said this morning. When David began to realize that God had beset him behind and before, he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I can't attain unto it. As God has a people, and he's come to seek and to save that which was lost, he said in Luke. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jacob was lost, and he was without God, wandering alone. Yes, he had godly parents. Yes, Jacob was followed God, and certainly his father Isaac did, and Abraham did. But Jacob here at this point was lost. He was not yet a believer in God. He had grown up in a good home with Isaac and Abraham, certainly teaching him the truths of God, but he was not a believer in God. It tells us that as he went on this way and he went out into the wilderness, that he laid down in one place to sleep, and it tells us that he used a rock for a pillow. I mean, that's pretty hard living. You know, you're out there, and he's the only thing he can find for a pillow is a rock. You know, I look at that verse, and I think it's very interesting, because the world would always have you to think that their life is so good and so nice and so wonderful. The way of the world is hard. The way of the lost is a hard way. It's a painful way. The way of the transgressor is a hard way. The ways of the lost sinner are a hard way to live. Often lonely and sad and fearful and afraid and never knowing what might happen next. They live in fear. Most of the time that's why they're doing everything they can to escape it with drugs or alcohol or whatever else they can do to escape the life that they live. It tells us that when Jacob slept on that pillow, we know that he had a dream. And it said when he waked out of his sleep, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." He didn't know the Lord. But he had this dream, you know, of the ladder and everything. And he woke up and he said, God must be in this area. God must be here. You see, God knew right where he was at and could even affect his dreams and could affect his thinking and affect everything about his life. Because God set his love upon him. The title of the message today is "What God Did for Jacob, He Can Do for You." What God did for Jacob, He can do for you. God found him in a desert land. Jacob wasn't out there looking for God any more than I went to Home Baptist Church looking for God. Most people, the first time that they come into church, really aren't looking to find God. They're just looking for something. They don't even know what it is. And Jacob was out in a desert land in a waste howling wilderness. He wasn't out there looking for God, but God found him. The Lord is never late. I love the song that Sister Lafferty sings, 4 days Late, because God is never late. He's there just when the song says, "I need him most." Just when I need him most. Isn't that when God is there, when we need him most? Now I want you to see that the Lord did not find him and save his soul and then leave him. He didn't find him and save him out there and say, "Okay, Jacob, you're on your own. You keep yourself saved and you figure it out from here." Look at this verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32. He found him in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. God doesn't leave his children without leadership. Why would he save us and then leave us without his Holy Spirit and his leadership? He led him about. He instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. The Lord led him about, and just as much as David said, and David couldn't have put it any better than when he wrote the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's my one that leads me." David understood what it was like to, as a shepherd, how sheep have to be led and guided, and the sheep don't know anything but to follow. And he said, "The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want," or "I won't lack anything. I won't lack what I need." A lot different than want. We think of want today as our desires. But he said, "I won't lack anything. I shall not be in want. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Well, this is what was happening with Jacob. Jacob had grown up in a Christian home, if you will, in a godly home. But yet, he was a grown man now, and he was on the run, and he was out in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness, and God came to where he was and found him. And he began to lead him about. "No man can come unto the Father. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And that's certainly what's happening in Jacob's life. God has found him and he's drawing him to him. He's leading him about and showing him his need of salvation. His need to believe and trust in him as the only true God. He led him about. Now, a shepherd can only be in one place at one time. A man can only be in one place at one time. Either leads or is on the right hand or the left, or is in front of you or in back of you. But you know, our shepherd is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. In fact, He surrounds us front and back and behind. He's over us. He's under us. He's everywhere. His love surrounds us. And then when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord, the one who's omnipresent, is the one who's my shepherd. Amen. He's not just a shepherd sitting on a hill up there looking over the situation. He's the Lord who knows my heart, where I'm at, and everything about me. In fact, the psalmist wrote, "Also the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." The angel of the Lord encampeth round about. Not just near, but all around. If we could understand that God has our back, He has our, He's on our left, He's on our right, He's round about us. And then it says, "Around about them that fear Him," I love this, "and delivereth them." You know, there's a lot of people that just say, I work with some men that they say, "Mark, why do you just like that old English, that old King James? Why don't you just get with it and use a modern translation, you know?" And I think Ryan, our pastor, put it best. He says, "You know, most of these modern translations are no more than men's commentaries on the Bible." And really, that's what they are. They're a commentary on the Bible. They're not, they're man's idea of what they think. And they're leaving out such important things in the Word of God that I believe that God inspired these men to even write the translation of King James in our English, because He knew that the United States was going to be the powerful leader in this world and in missionary movement in His church. And we would have to have a Bible in our English tongue. And I believe God led in it. But I believe He led in it right down to the letters that were used, right down to the TH in this. Look at this Psalms 34:7. Look at this sentence in Psalms 34, verse 7. "The angel of the Lord," and it says in verse 7 of Psalms 34, "encamp round about them that fear Him and delivereth them." You ever think about that? It could just say, I'm certain if you went to a modern translation, it would say, "He delivered them." Or "He, deliver, will deliver," whatever. However they would translate it. But you know, when you say "delivereth," you know that's continual. The Lord doesn't just deliver. He continues to deliver. So that TH, oh, it may be old English and it may be, you know, a word that we would say, well, that's not even a word today, delivereth. But it's a word in the Bible. And it means a continual deliverance. And so when God found Jacob out there in that waste howling wilderness and He delivered him, He didn't just say, "Okay, I've shown you that you need to be saved and now you're on your own." He continued to lead him and guide him and deliver him through all trials of his life. Even when he met his brother and he was, that had to be the experience of his life, to come to face to face with the brother that had said, "I'm going to kill you." But God delivered him. You see, He delivered him from the very beginning. He delivered him from his own wrath, and He delivered him, and He delivered him and still delivereth him. The Lord does not find one of His sheep and then forsake them. He stays with them and He stays with us and leads and guides them and speaks to them, and they know His voice. He said, "My sheep know My voice." You know, I love the fact that one time I heard my pastor preaching from these verses. He said there, John chapter 10, if you want to turn there in verse 26, it says, "Ye believe not because ye are not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice." It's interesting that they believe not because they're not of His sheep. You know, well, Esau didn't believe because he was not of his sheep. Jacob was his sheep even when he was lost and didn't know it. I was one of his sheep before I ever knew it. "My sheep hear My voice. And I know them and they follow Me." They were His sheep before they ever heard His voice, and they started to follow God, and God chose His people just as He did Jacob, saved him out of a waste howling wilderness. He calls him out by name and they hear His voice and He followed him. Just as much as God called Zacchaeus down and he was excited to come down and take Jesus home that day. And the day before he was probably out there just thinking just how much he could steal in taxes. But God changed him. And Jesus knew right where he was. Called him out by name. In John here, chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, "My sheep hear my voice," in verse 27, "and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Well, that was what my wife was trying to tell me in study hall in ninth grade, was that you're saved, you're always saved. That you'll never perish. "And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And I remember a discussion I had once with my uncle, who's now passed away, who grew up believing this idea that you can be saved and lost again. And he was really, really nice in the way that he approached it to me. And he said, "You believe that you're always saved no matter what?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Don't you believe that if you were to sin, that you could sin so much that God wouldn't allow you to be in heaven?" And I said, "No. No, I don't." I said, "Uncle Edgar," I said, "if I could keep myself saved, I would have lost it probably within the same day that I was saved, because I can't control my mind. How much sin does it take for God to cast me out? Where is that tipping of the scales?" I said, "You know what the Bible says?" He said, "Not only did the Lord say, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise, for no reason. I will in no wise cast out." And he said here in these verses, he said, when I said that, he said, "Well, you cast yourself out. By your sins, you cast yourself out." And I said, "How can that be? Uncle Edgar, how can I cast myself out?" I said, John chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I said, "The Lord has me in his hand." And then he goes on to say, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I said, "I'm in there." And I said, "If I can pluck myself out, I'm stronger than God." Because he said, "No man is able to pluck him out." And I believe God that I'm in there. Because God has told me that. The devil can't get me. Oh, the devil, if anybody could get me out of there, the devil would get me out of there. But he can't get me out. And I will no wise cast out. And no man is able to pluck him out. And Jacob was in there. God had him. God got a hold of Jacob out there in the wilderness. And what God did for Jacob, he can do for you. He found him in that desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. And he led him about, and he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And look at what it says. Not only God leading him and instructing him, but he taught him, and he changed Jacob, and he took him, and he taught him much about forgiveness and mercy. And God led him right where he needed to be. And look at verse 9 there. It says, and Jacob said, chapter 32, Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac." He knew that now he had finally seen the God of his father Isaac and the God of his father Abraham. "The Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." And then look what he says in verse 10 of chapter 32 here. I'm sorry, I'm Genesis. I want you to turn to Genesis. I said Deuteronomy. We've got Deuteronomy 32 and Genesis 32. But Genesis 32 and verse 9 we just read. Jacob said there in verse 9, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." And look what he says here in verse 10 of Genesis 32. He says, "I'm not worthy." I'll tell you, when you get to the point to where the Lord has saved your soul, you realize how unworthy you are. "I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." I mean, he began to look back and see what God had done in his life here, and he's given his testimony of what God has done for him and how God has been merciful to him. And he looks back and he sees that God, the truth and the mercy that God has shown him and how God has loved him and how God drew him out. And he said, "For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I've become two bands." He said, when I took off and I was on the run, the only thing I crossed this Jordan with was this stick. It's all I had. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any family. I didn't have any camels or herds or cows or a sheep or anything. I just was on the run with, you know, the blessing of my father and a stick. A walking stick. With the staff I passed over Jordan, and now I've become two bands. He says, my family's grown so big, and you've blessed me with so much cattle, and you've blessed me with so much, and I have so many children and grandchildren. I'm two companies of people moving about. Two bands of people. You've blessed me in so many ways. Jacob, he left with nothing. And he knew he was that lost in that desert, in that waste, howling wilderness, and God found him there. And I don't believe anyone can be saved until they can see where they're at. That they're lost without any hope. But I want you to notice too here that, as we already said in this Deuteronomy 32, and I should have told you to hold your place there because we'll go back to that, verse 10 again. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, he says, he found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. We know that after he found him there, that it says he led him about. He instructed him. He not only led him, but he began to teach him. And that's where Jacob said, I'm not worthy of all the truth that you've taught me. I'm not worthy of all these mercies and the way that you've taught me and instructed me. But then it says there, he says, he kept him. Well, it goes back to what we just said. I will in no wise cast out. He got him in his hand and he says, I'm not going to let you go. The Lord didn't die on the cross and then pay for all my sins and then one day just go, oh, Mark didn't make it. Doesn't even make sense, does it? That the Lord would go to the cross and die for me and pay for all my sins and then go, you know what, just because he didn't ask for forgiveness or he didn't keep enough of the law at the end, he didn't make it. Doesn't even make sense. He kept him. And not only kept him, but it says he kept him as the apple of his eye. In fact, in John chapter 10, where we read, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, for which cause I also suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I'm so thankful that it isn't up to me to keep myself saved. That Jacob was kept by God. God found him in that desert, in that waste home. He led him about. He instructed him and he kept him. He kept him, and it says he kept him as the apple of his eye. That lying cheat that if you looked at Jacob and Esau, I'd pick Esau any day of the week. I mean, you know, he was a rugged hunter guy, wanted to do stuff. You know, Jacob, you know, kind of a mama's boy, sitting around to stir the pot at home, you know. I mean, for as far as a man, if I'm going to pick to be my buddy, I probably would have picked Esau, but that's my flesh. But God picked Jacob. God was merciful to him. And it says here, it says, he was the apple of his eye. He is blessed in his life. God blessed him. He taught him, instructed him, he guided him, he protected him, and he was the apple of his eye, and God kept him. And what God did for Jacob, he either has done for you today already, or he may yet do for you, or he can do for you. What he did for Jacob. In Deuteronomy, there it says how God cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And look what it says in verse 11 there. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. I mean, a big old eagle, you've seen little nests like this. Most of us have seen little bitty nests like this. There'd be robin's nest or sparrow's nest or something, you know. And if you look at them after the babies are gone, and you find, what you find in there is a bunch of old feathers and fluffy feathers in there. And you know, you look at it and you go, boy, them babies shed a lot of feathers. No, that's not the baby's feathers. That's mama's feathers. That's the feathers that was the bedding that was made. You know, and as an eagle stirreth and fluttereth, she says, this is the way God cared for Jacob. He said, like an eagle taking care of a nest. I got over it and I stirred up the nest and I fluttered over it and I made certain that there was a lot of feathers. And when the hot sun came out, I covered you with my wings and protected you and taketh them and protected them. And if there was any danger, bore them on their wings and took them out of the nest and did whatever was needed to take care of them. And God did that for Jacob. God leads and protects and teaches so we might do His will. Look with me over at this verse in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19 and verse 4, it says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." I believe that God did that in my life. As I read this morning, as I gave you my testimony in Sunday school, I believe I can look back and see how God bore me, how He beset me behind and before, and how He brought me to a particular place. God does that. "How I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." I mean, Jacob didn't have any idea. He's, "I'm out here in the desert hiding. I'm on my way. I'm staying away from Esau." But God was drawing him and drawing him unto Himself. Look in Genesis chapter 28 with me at these verses. Genesis 28, verse 11, there it says, "He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down for a place to sleep. He thought, well, I'll just go to sleep here and make a pillow out of rocks. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." God began to reveal Himself in a dream of who He was and what He was going to do with His life. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and thy seed, and shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And I'm so thankful for that last part of verse 15. The Lord says, not only will I, as He keep me as the apple of His eye, He says, I'll not leave thee until I have done that which I've spoken of. In other words, the Lord says, I'm coming back for you, and He's not going to leave me until He comes back for me. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. The one reason I believe that God blessed Jacob so much is that we know too is that Jacob didn't seek any other gods. We never find that Jacob sought other gods. We know that his wife, when she left Laban, she had her false gods in her camel's pack. But Jacob didn't have any other gods. The Bible makes that very clear. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 12. I like what it says here too. Deuteronomy 32, it says there in verse 12, it says, "So the Lord alone did lead him." The Lord began to lead him, and he wasn't looking. You know, there's a lot of people today looking for advice from a lot of people to lead him. But Jacob had the Lord alone. Didn't have any, advice from anybody else on how to raise his kids. I'll tell you what, if you want to know how to raise your children, the Bible's pretty clear on it. You want to know how to have a happy marriage? The Bible's pretty clear on that too. The Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange god with him. He didn't have any strange god. He didn't have any false gods. The Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange god. And then look what it says. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. He took this man who had nothing. And God blessed him immensely. And made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might increase in the fields. And made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock and butter of kine and milk of sheep and fat of the lambs and with the rams of the breed of Bashan and of goats and with the fat of kidney of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape God blessed him. Now, God's not going to bless every one of us with being millionaires, but God takes care of his people. David said, I've never seen a seed begging bread. God takes care of his people. God's people over and over, even though they've been in hard times, God has taken care of them. God blesses his people, and he did so with Jacob. And what God did for Jacob, he can do for you. He can do for you. You may be in a waste, howling wilderness, but God knows where you're at. God can find you. He can instruct you. He can keep you. He can lead you. Just as he found Jacob in that desert land, in that waste, howling wilderness, and he led him about, and he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. What God did for Jacob, he can do for you today if you're here and you're lost. You may be here and you may be 11 years old and you think you're saved like I thought I was. You may be lost. You may be here and you may be 48 years old or near about like my brother was. And he was lost and the Lord saved him. There's been many that have been saved later in life as well as being saved as young children. But without the Lord, you're going to wander around in that waste, howling wilderness in this lost world. And the end of the world, I believe, is coming quick. I really believe that we're in the last days. When you begin to think over the last month just how many earthquakes there have been and where they've been and all these places. I mean, what was the sign of the last days? The Lord said, earthquakes in diverse places, in many different places. There have been major earthquakes all over Japan, Haiti, Chile. I forget the other place, but there have been earthquakes in a lot of places. We got to look at the signs and know that our Lord could come back any day. Could be today. Are you ready for the Lord to return? Are you one of His? Are you one of His children? Have you ever repented of your sin, been born again, and trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He give you that peace. Jacob had that peace right till the day he died that the Lord was his. There's no other God, but the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham were his God too. Brother Andrew, would you come?